It's a little strange this late in the year to be wishing Happy New Year, but we haven't seen a lot of each other since then, so it's good to see you today. A few announcements. First, there were a pair of glasses found in the sanctuary. They're probably from a first service person, so if they look familiar, you could grab them and give them to them. And secondly, there was a Petro points card found in the front parking lot. It's just a points card. It hasn't been activated, not a credit card, so not a big worry. But if it's yours, I got it. It's all up here. The other announcements that we have. Other than you get extra points for being here on such a cold Sunday, you do. And so I'm thankful for that. And as always, you can cash your points in with Vince. But Vince is in South Africa right now, where it's really, really not cold. So you'll have to wait till he's back. Just a few things. There's an announcement about Pinecrest Terrace Food Bank, and a thank you for the support of the congregation for that ministry, that work, and also that the food bank is looking for a few people to help out with the ministry. And if you are interested or able to help, you can speak to Linda Shugart. She would be happy to tell you more about that. And James Higgs, Mark Nesbitt's brother-in-law, died, and his funeral will be this coming Friday at 1 p.m. at Kelly Funeral Home on Carling Avenue. So that's Friday at 1. There's not a lot of other announcements to leave you with, but I will leave you with the ones that are there. Let us prepare to come before the Lord and to worship God. Sometimes we're under the mistaken impression that worship is something that we are to do to make God happy, and that if we don't come to church to worship, that somehow God is not happy. And there may be a little bit in that, but worship is a gift that God gives to us, because it is through worship that we are often able to be open to the Lord and open to what He is doing, particularly when we have the Lord's Supper. So as we begin our worship service, let us not look at it as a duty to perform, but let us look at it as a gift to be received and enjoyed and celebrated. Let us worship God.
Thank you.
Lord, we come to you and realize as we do so that you had already come to us. Every time we come to you, every time we return to you, we discover that you are right there and you have been with us all along. We thank you for the truth of that. We thank you for the incredible love that that is, that you hold for us, for each one of us. We bow before you, Lord, to give you honor, to acknowledge you as Lord of our lives, to acknowledge you as Creator and as our Heavenly Father, to acknowledge you as our Savior, that at the chosen time you came to us in Jesus to live for us and die for us on the cross and rise again for us, all for us. And we acknowledge that it is by you and your grace alone that we are saved. It is in Jesus and in him alone that we are redeemed. And we acknowledge that you are here with us, as you have promised to be, by your Holy Spirit, present in our lives. And we acknowledge that you are at work transforming us to be a people more like Jesus. Bless us, we pray, in our time of worship, that we should know your nearness, Lord, that we should encounter the living God even in this place, in this fellowship, in this company, and that in worship we should discover the grace that you give to us, unending, beautiful grace that you give to us. Bless us with your mercy, we pray. We are a sinful people. Lord, we know all of these things. We know that you are Lord of our lives, and yet so often we nudge you out of the throne of our lives that we might sit there ourselves. And when we do so, nothing good happens. We bring harm to others. We dishonor you. Forgive us, Lord, all our sin. Heal us of our brokenness and make us a new people that we should live for you every day. Our God, all these prayers we offer in Jesus' name as we continue to pray together our Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us hear God's word together.
The Word of the Lord, Psalm 72. Endow the king with your justice, O God, the royal son with your righteousness. May the mountains bring prosperity to the people, the hills the fruit of righteousness. May he endure as long as the sun, as long as the moon, through all generations.
May he be like rain falling on the mown field, as showers
in his days, may the righteous flourish and prosperity abound till the moon is no more. May the desert tribes bow before him and his enemies lick the dust. May all kings bow down to him and all nations serve him. He will take pity on the weak and the needy and save the needy from death. Long may he live. May gold from Sheba be given him. May people ever pray for him and bless him all day long. May his name endure forever. May it continue as long as the sun. Then all nations will be blessed through him, and they will call him blessed. Praise be to his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen.
Thank you. Could the children come on up front? Hey. It's good to see you all. Did you have a good Christmas?
Yeah.
Yeah? And New Year's? Yeah? Yeah. New Year's Eve, not so much. It's good. We have a new year. It's a good time for changes, isn't it, in a new year? We can start new things again, right? Yeah. We were just singing a song about the three kings. The three kings, what else do we call them? Do you remember?
Wise men.
Wise men, yeah. Or sometimes we call them the magi. But the three kings that were traveling and coming to go to worship the baby Jesus, right? And we're gonna talk a little bit about the three kings. But first, I want to say to you that this is sometimes called Epiphany Sunday, when the three kings come and they present the gifts to Jesus. And it usually happens, or it happens 12 days after Christmas. But today is Epiphany Sunday. This would be, yesterday would have been the 12 days, right? So, we're going to talk about that. But first of all, I want to know, do you know what a legend is? What's a legend?
Something really, really old.
Something really, really old? It could have happened a long time ago, right? What does a legend tell us, usually? Is it true?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah,
okay, let's see if it is. Okay. So we can kind of learn something about legend. How many of you remember the song that we sing a lot, like when we do Grace, Johnny Appleseed? Johnny Appleseed? We sing about Johnny Appleseed, that he went around planting seeds of apple trees, and he planted the apple trees all over North America. That's a legend. Is it true? Yeah, he planted every apple tree all over the United States and Canada. No, it's... The song says he planted a lot of them, doesn't it? But it's a legend. So when we sing that song, or when we do it for our grace, we say that with every seed he sows, an apple tree will grow, right? Well, did you ever plant an apple seed in the ground? You try it. Let's see what happens, okay? But it is a legend. So we learn something from legends, but they're not necessarily true. And that's not true, that he planted every apple tree in North America, okay? When we get some stories in the Bible, everything that you learn in the Bible is truth. So that when we go through our story about the birth of Jesus, about the shepherds, and about the wise men coming, but they traveled from a very, very long time in a very long way. They didn't get there at Bethlehem at the manger. It was later on. So I'm going to tell you a story about a legend. This is not a truth, okay? It's a story and a legend, but it teaches us something. So in Italy, they have a celebration on Epiphany, the day that the kings brought the gifts to Jesus. And it's called La Befana. And La Befana is an old lady. And what happened in this legend is that as the wise men were traveling to Bethlehem, that they stopped. They got lost. And they stopped. No offense, men. Three wise men traveling and got lost. But...
it's a legend, not true.
Anyway, they stopped at this house of this old lady in Italy. And this lady worked all the time, cleaning her house. She swept and swept and swept outside her house. That was the most important thing to her, that she keep cleaning this house and sweeping and sweeping. And so the wise men came and they said, "We're lost. Can you help us? Can you show us? We're going to worship the Savior that has been born to us. We're following the star." And you know what? The old lady actually knew the story, too, that there was a promised Savior coming. But she said, "I can't go. I can't show you. I've got work to do. I've got to keep sweeping and cleaning my house." Pardon? It could be. He wants to know if it's OCD. So But it could be. So the wise men leave. And they start going on again. They thought, how can this woman want to miss this? So they go back to her house and they say, are you sure you don't want to come and worship Jesus? Are you sure you don't want to come with us? No, she said, I'm too busy. I've got all this work to do. I've got to sweep my house. So she didn't go. So she missed out on going to see Jesus with them. So what happens now in Italy is that on Epiphany, they have this thing. They say that the old lady felt so bad that she started buying gifts and she would take them around to babies at this time every year. And, you know, they still do that. They celebrate in Italy the Befana. And they give gifts to babies and to children on Epiphany to celebrate it. But the point of this legend that I want you to remember is that this person was so busy doing stuff that she missed out on going to worship the Savior. And we don't want to ever miss out on being with Jesus, do we? Okay, we're going to think about that. Let's have a prayer together before we go out. Heavenly Father, we thank you that the wise men brought precious gifts to Jesus. Help us, Lord, to bring Jesus, ourselves, and give that to him as a precious gift. We pray in his name. Amen.
Let's pray together. Our God, we turn to your word, and we thank you for it, and we pray that by your Spirit you would open your word to us and bless us, that we should be open to your word and all that you would say to us. We pray in Jesus. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning is Matthew 2, verses 1 to 12, and it will sound familiar after Judy's children's time. This is God's word. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. life had gotten normal as life can ever get. They'd been there long enough to have all the furniture they needed for the house. They had all the pictures up on the walls. They were settled. They had settled into a routine of work and caring for their young child. Mary and Joseph had decided to remain in Bethlehem after Jesus' birth. We don't know how long they'd lived in a stable. Probably wasn't too long at all. 2 years later, they were in a house. The parents of a toddler who happened to be the Son of God, God's anointed Messiah. Joseph had set up his shop. He was a craftsman, a carpenter, tradition tells us, and he worked to support his young family. Mary had nursed Jesus as an infant and had weaned him and put him onto solid foods. She loved her son and cared for him, cared for the house, probably helped Joseph in his job when possible. Life was the life of a young family with a toddler. The angel visitations were now distant memories. The night of Jesus' birth and the visits of the shepherds were now joyful memories. Life was life, as normal as it gets. In Jerusalem, life was probably pretty normal for Herod, the king. Now, Herod was king by the appointment of the Senate in Rome, which meant that his loyalties were more to Rome than they were to his own people. Herod is known as Herod the Great, and historically he is known by some historians as being a pretty great leader. He did some huge building projects. He expanded the temple in Jerusalem. He built the port at Caesarea and built the fortress at Masada, as well as many other building projects throughout Judah. Of course, Herod was also brutal. He banished his first wife and son because he had decided that he wanted to marry another woman who was a better political fit for him. He also executed several members of his own family because he perceived in them a threat to his own power. Those executions included his second wife, who he thought was a good political fit. Herod was brutal and did not toy with threats to his power. For Herod, life was life. It was pretty normal for him. The people were mostly under control, and he had as much power as he was ever going to be allowed to have. But then one day, some foreigners came into Jerusalem and disturbed the entire city, and certainly disturbed Herod. Magi from the east came, looking for the one who was born king of the Jews. They had seen a star that represented his birth, and they had followed it, and they were coming to look for this baby king. This was a problem for Herod. He took all threats to his power very, very seriously. You don't kill family members if you don't take it seriously. So he gained the information from the people who knew, and he passed it along to the Magi, telling him that the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem. And he wanted them to go and search for the child and then come back and tell Herod where he was so that he might go and worship him too. Of course, if we read on, we know that worship was the farthest thing from his mind. He wanted to remove a threat. After the Magi had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child and his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The arrival of the Magi turned everything upside down for just about everyone. That's not actually the case. The Magi were responding to the event that turned everything upside down for everyone. The event of Jesus' birth. The event of the incarnation of God come in Jesus. The event of God become human in Jesus. And what we see in this passage is the various players in the story all reacting to Jesus, the incarnation of God, and reacting in different ways. When Jesus was born, the angels proclaimed to the shepherds good news of great joy that will be for all the people. In Jesus, there is good news for all people. It is good news of great joy, and it will be for all people. And that promise was realized in part in the Magi who came to worship Jesus and offer him gifts fit for a king. Our NIV Bibles say that the Magi were overjoyed. Literally, it says, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. That's a lot of joy. They rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Now, they didn't know everything about Jesus. They didn't know everything that Jesus was about to do in his life. But they knew enough to rejoice about as much as humanly possible. And they knew enough to bow down and worship him and offer him gifts fit for a king. That was their response. But not everyone responded to this good news with great joy. Herod and all Jerusalem were disturbed by the very same news. The good news of Jesus, the gospel, proclaims that things, they are a-changing. Jesus is Lord, not Herod, not Caesar, not the self within every person. Jesus is Lord. You see, Jesus was and is a threat to earthly power. Jesus had come to change lives and thereby change the world. Change can be disturbing. Change can be difficult. Change upsets the balance. And yet Jesus came to change everything for everyone. It's interesting to note that the opposite of faith is not doubt. In fact, doubt is an important part of faith. The opposite of faith is fear. And fear is exactly what Herod felt and experienced when he heard the good news about Jesus, when he heard about the birth of the Messiah. Herod was afraid. Faith brings hope and purpose and confidence. That's what the Magi had, confidence and hope and purpose. But fear destroys confidence. It ends hope. It extinguishes purpose. And that's what Herod had. Don't be afraid of your doubts. But watch for fear creeping in. As Judy said, yesterday was Epiphany. It is the day after the season of Christmas. Christmas is 12 days long. There's a song, you may have heard it, something about it being 12 days long. And then Epiphany comes. And Epiphany is the celebration of the incarnation of Jesus to the Gentiles, to those who are not part of the Jewish people. It's the beginning of the realization of the angel's promise that Jesus would bring good news of great joy for all people. It is the beginning of the good news of Jesus going out into the world. These magi were foreigners, came from another land, and they knew something of the good news, and they took that good news with them as they departed. An epiphany points to the Great Commission that comes at the end of Jesus' ministry, as recorded by Matthew. Jesus said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Now we can look at this Magi passage in a couple of different ways from the perspective of the Great Commission. We have this good news that God has given to us, this good news of great joy for all people. And we are called to proclaim it to all people, but not all people will receive it with great joy. The call is upon us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus, that in him and through his death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead, our sins are forgiven. That in him our brokenness is healed. That in him we have life in abundance, even eternal life. In him we have our place in the Lord's presence always and forever. And we are to proclaim this good news. And some will receive it with great joy and others won't. Each one of us is responsible for our own response to the gospel. That doesn't mean we stop proclaiming if someone says no. We continue to proclaim Jesus. We continue to live the gospel. But we are not responsible for the choices that others make. But the other way of looking at this passage from the perspective of the Great Commission is that each one of us receives the gospel like both the Magi and Herod. I'll tell you what I mean. Commentator Douglas Hare, I think, captures this well, but it's a fairly dense quote, so if you haven't been paying attention, now's the time to start. If you have, thank you, and now's the time to up it just a little bit. For us, the contrast, that is between Herod and the Magi, for us, the contrast can serve to symbolize the inner conflict between that part of the inner self which willingly and joyfully accepts the lordship of Christ our King, and the darker side of the self which firmly and persistently rejects his right to rule our lives. Is that not truth? We accept Jesus as Lord. We want him as Lord. But when it comes to the crunch every single day with things we do and things we say, do we live and speak as if he is Lord of our lives? Well, sometimes. Not all the time. Douglas Hare concluded, "Scoff not at Herod until you have acknowledged the Herod in yourself." I think that's pretty important. You see, the gospel, the good news of Jesus, is not just a ticket to heaven. It is, in fact, the very life of faith itself. And we must constantly drench ourselves in the showers of God's grace in the gospel of Jesus, that we might live in and through the gospel. And that means thriving in the joy of God's mercy and the forgiveness of our sins. Thriving in the joy of God making us whole in Christ. But it also means turning our lives over to the Lord. And that we give Him and Him alone the throne of our lives. Because we're too quick to give Jesus the throne and then kind of nudge Him just a little bit so we can sit on the throne ourselves. The gospel calls us. The gospel gives us such grace, but it also calls us to live with Christ on the throne of our lives. And thereby we grow as followers of Jesus and grow in gratitude for this incredible grace that He gives us. But we must also watch out for fear. Healthy fear keeps us alive. A healthy, respectful fear of a big, dangerous intersection is probably a good thing. But living in fear is not gospel living. Living in fear of our mortal souls is not gospel living. Living afraid of change is not gospel living. Because the Lord is transforming our lives. He's bringing change to our lives constantly. Unless you have arrived at perfection, God's still working on you, and God is still bringing change. Living in fear of losing control is not gospel living. The Lord may have plans for someone else to come up and help or to take over. It's not gospel living when we live in fear. And when we are living fearful lives, we need to go back to the gospel and drink deeply. Drink deeply of the gospel of Jesus. And we need to allow that good news to fill us, that we should live in faith and not in fear. The angels proclaimed good news of great joy for all people. Herod heard disturbing news of great fear. Perhaps what we need to hear today is disturbing good news of great joy. The joy we receive in Christ is incredible, but He also shakes us up and changes everything and calls us to follow Him as Lord. And we can't have one without the other. The gospel is both. Both salvation and living with Jesus' lordship. Do you find that a little unsettling? I hope so. Let's pray together. Our Lord, we thank You for the good news that You give us in Jesus. We thank You for all that means to us, for salvation, for life, for our futures, for our families, our friends, those around us. We thank You that it does change everything. There is so much brokenness in this world, brokenness even in our own lives, and we thank You that the transformation that Jesus brings in His gospel is a transformation to wholeness and healing. And we pray that You would change us, that You would revive us and renew us and continue to transform us. Take fear away from us. That we would live truly with You as Lord. For there's no fear in that. We thank You for the gospel, for eternity with You. But we thank You that the gospel is impactful here and now in our relationship with You this day, in this place, in our homes, in our workplaces, in our schools. We thank you for this good news, and Lord, we pray that you would help us to share that good news, to share it in this world. Bless us to work through our mission partners around the world, throughout Canada, that your gospel should be known. And help us to share that good news at home, with our families, in our neighborhoods, with our co-workers and classmates. Help us to live gospel lives, that your truth would be seen. And we pray, Lord, for your blessing upon those who have need this day. We pray your blessing upon Duncan and Brenda, and we thank you that they were not hurt in the car accident they were in on Thursday. We thank you with great celebration that they are well and good. And we pray that you would continue to bless them. We pray your healing upon Verla's back, that you would remove the pain and bless her with wholeness. And we pray, Lord, that you would heal Joan's ankle, that you would again remove the pain and bless her with wholeness. We pray, Lord, your blessing upon all those who have particular needs this day, that you would be glorified and honored. In Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us continue to worship God, our Lord and our Savior, with our tithes and our offerings. Thank you. holy God, we celebrate before you and proclaim you, and we thank you for the grace you have given us in Jesus, the grace that you give us in daily provision. We bring these gifts of our money, of our time, our efforts, our gifts to you, that by them you should be glorified, and through them the work of your kingdom should be accomplished in this place and in this world. We offer them in Jesus. Amen. We gather to the Lord's table this morning after we talk about the gospel of Jesus. And I would invite you to use this opportunity to drink deeply of God's grace, to receive the gospel anew into your lives, and to allow Him to be Lord, to acknowledge Jesus as Lord, and to allow the Lord's Supper to somehow represent that renewal for you. The Lord's table is for all those who know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And if that is you, you are welcome to receive. Let us prepare to come to the table. That we may confess our faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. Let us confess together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after they had eaten, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." Let us pray together. Our loving, holy God, who was and is and will always be, we thank you for the salvation that you give us in Jesus. That when we are incapable of dealing with our own sin, of fixing ourselves because of our sin, you came to us in Jesus, the living God in human form, to live for us, to die for us on the cross, to rise again for us, all for us, that we might know life in all its abundance to all eternity in and through Jesus. Lord God, we thank you. And we thank you that you give us this gift, the gift of the Lord's Supper, to represent that grace that you have given us in the gospel of Christ. Bless us as we come to the table. Bless us that this bread and this cup may be to us as the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. Bless us to follow you. We pray in Jesus. Amen. The Lord Jesus offers himself to us in broken bread, in grace, in hope, and says, "Take and eat." The body of Christ. After they had eaten, Jesus took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of him." Blood of Christ. Our loving God, we thank you for the ways in which you have given yourself to us in Jesus. We thank you for the gospel, for the good news of Jesus that is ours because of him that you have entrusted to us. Even as you have blessed us, make us a blessing to each other and to all those with whom we interact this day. That you should be there and that everyone should know that you are there with us. For your glory in Jesus, amen. Sisters and brothers, take the good news that is yours, that is entrusted to you by Jesus and in Jesus, and live it, that all might see. And may the love of God the Father and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be upon you and fill you to overflowing now and always. Amen.